Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
And I want to do something a little bit different today. I'm not going to tell you the topic of what I'm preaching about. I want to read the scriptures, and then I want you to guess what I'm preaching about. It's almost like a game show, right? Like what's the, not the Price is Right, but like Wheel of Fortune or something like that. I'm gonna start reading some scriptures, and then I want you to shout me down when you think that you've figured out exactly what we're talking about today. And here's the clue. It's not that difficult to figure out. All right? Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Anyone figure it out yet? Some of you figured it out. Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Anyone else figure it out yet? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." I hope everybody's figured it out by now. But for those that are slow, one more scripture for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe." Today we're talking about Thanksgiving. And I'm so excited about it. This is one of my favorite times of the year. I know Tracy already talked about this earlier, about how it's one of her favorite times of the year. It's one of my favorite times of the year as well. The reason that it's one of my favorite times of the year is that I did not grow up with the celebration of Thanksgiving. When you grow up in other countries, you don't grow up with Thanksgiving. I'm so glad and grateful that I grew up in Australia and that I was born in New Zealand, but we don't have the history and we don't have the traditions like we have here in the United States. Anyone else was born in another country? Was anyone else born overseas? Yeah, so you know what it's like to be born and to grow up in a country that does not celebrate Thanksgiving. But I love that part of the tradition and part of the history that we have is that we pause in the middle of our week and we shut down the nation and we express gratitude with our loved ones when we gather around tables. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And not only is it one of my favorite times of the year because we get to express gratitude, but also because it is an annual reminder to me about how I'm grateful for salvation. Like, not only am I grateful for what God has done for me, but Thanksgiving is literally what led me to salvation. I was born into the church. Like, I went to church all the time. When I was growing up in Australia, I went to church on Sunday morning. I went to church on Sunday evening. I went to life groups and I was serving from a young age. And I was just involved in church all the time. If I wasn't at church, then I was babysitting for someone so that they could go to some kind of church activity. I was wrapped in church. All the time I was at church. And then I went off to college and I realized I don't have to go to church anymore. I realized very quickly, it's not only that I don't have to go to church all the time, it's that I don't have to go to church at all anymore. And I thought to myself, well, in the first few years of my life, I've done enough church for like my entire life, so surely this is gonna get me through a few more years if I just stop going to church. And so I stopped going. And I realized very quickly, when you stop going to church, then you stop surrounding yourself with believers. And when you stop surrounding yourself with believers, you stop worshiping. And when you stop worshiping, you stop praying. And I realized that the distance between me and God began to grow. And there was a season in my life where I did not call myself a Christian. I would go through life just living my own life. And I don't look back on that time regretfully. Because when I lived in those moments, I lived for myself and I realized how meaningless and how empty life is without Christ. And when I think back on that time now, I think to myself, well, I don't want that anymore. I've done that experience and so now I want Christ at the center of my life all the time. I realize how meaningful life can be with Christ and how meaningless life is without Christ. And so I don't want to ever go back to that experience, but one of the things that saved me during that time was that I would go through life and I would see the incredible beauty of nature. I would see the way that the sun would rise, and I would see the birds that would chirp, and I would see the incredible rainbows that would exist, and then I would have no one to be grateful to. I realized that I would see these beautiful things, or I would feel the embrace from a loved one, and I would have no ability to be grateful for that thing. I would see children play, and I would see the stars at night, and I would not be able to be grateful to anybody for the existence of all of these things because it was just meaningless and empty. It was this experience where I wanted to express something. I wanted to give something away, but I wasn't able to give it away to anybody because gratitude requires a giver. Gratitude requires relationship. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience before where you've had something and you've tried to give it away, but you're unable to give it away. Where you've had something and you're just unable to do anything with that. Meredith likes to write Christmas cards to people every single year. She likes to write Christmas cards and then she tries to send them to, I don't know why she likes to write Christmas cards. To me, it's so much more efficient to just text somebody Merry Christmas, but she likes to, at the beginning of December, go and buy these cards and then handwrite, I love you and Merry Christmas. And what we find out is that every single year when she goes to send these Christmas cards, there are some people that we don't have their address. And so since 2016, since she's been doing this, she now has this stack of cards that she's been collecting that don't have an address. And so now every single year we have more and more cards that are filed away in the drawer in her study that she's unable to send anywhere. I don't know if you know what it's like to have something but not be able to send something, to experience gratitude and not be able to share that with anybody. This is essentially what C.S. Lewis wrote about when he said in one of his books, C.S. Lewis, one of the great theologians of modern history, he said it like this. He said, gratitude requires a giver. He said this when he was an atheist. This is essentially what he experienced and what led him into a place of faith. Gratitude requires a giver. It was like feeling a desire for a country that I had never yet visited. Eventually, I have decided now to give in and admit that God is God. This is essentially what led him into a place of salvation, as well as realizing how empty life is away from God, how you cannot express gratitude for the incredible things that we get to experience when you are living as if there is no God. Gratitude will save you. Gratitude led me to a place of thanksgiving, but not only did it lead me to a place of thanksgiving, gratitude also has all kinds of other benefits to it as well. Studies show that practicing gratitude strengthens neural pathways linked to joy and reduces pathways linked to fear. If you struggle with fear, practice gratitude. Gratitude lowers stress hormones. Anyone struggle with stress? At all? Practice gratitude. Regular gratitude decreases cortisol levels by over 23%. You have a stress issue in your life, you've got a cortisol issue in your life, practice gratitude. Anyone struggling with sleep in here? Anyone ever struggle with sleep, like falling asleep or staying asleep? Gratitude improves sleep quality. People who write down things that they are grateful for when they are in bed at night before they fall asleep, you will sleep longer and you will wake up less times throughout the night. It improves your sleep. Anyone know someone who gets sick all the time, like struggles with immune issues or anything like that? Gratitude boosts your immune system. Gratitude increases the immune cell activity and antibody production in your body. You need help in your mind, practice gratitude. You need help in your body, practice gratitude. You need help in your soul, practice gratitude. You need help in the team that you're leading, practice gratitude. Gratitude will center you and gratitude will ground you. We heard from our team several years ago, our staff here at the church, people would say that they're burnt out. People kept on coming to us saying, I'm burnt out. We go from event to event to event to event. I'm just burnt out all the time. And when Meredith and I would start meeting with people, we'd say, well, it can't be possible that everybody is burnt out all the time. Like, different people are involved in different kinds of events and different kinds of activities. So we started to ask more questions about what do you mean when you say that you're burnt out? And what we began to understand is that people were feeling burnt out, not because of the amount of events that we had. People were feeling burnt out because we never paused between the events that we had. And so what we've learned to do now is that we pause after every single event and we look back over that event and we express gratitude for the incredible things that God did throughout that time. And we express gratitude to one another. I love the way that you showed up and I love the way that your team showed up and the way that you put that together was phenomenal and that was fantastic and I'm grateful for you in this way and I'm grateful for you in this way and I'm grateful to God the way that that happened. You know what happened? Our team started feeling more grateful. You know what happened? The complaining went down because we started to express gratitude to one another. It wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't that we had so many events that people were burnt out. The issue was that we never expressed gratitude for what God had done. We just moved on from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And what we've learned is that there's never a bad time to express gratitude. Never. There's never a bad time to express gratitude. You're like, well, Pastor Phil, but you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know the difficulties that I'm dealing with. You don't know the pain that exists in my life. You don't know that my loved one just passed away. You don't know the mess that's going on in my life. There's never a bad time to express gratitude. And I'm not minimizing the experience that you're going through. I'm not minimizing or discounting the reality of the pain and the frustration and the struggle that exists in your own life. I'm just saying we should never cease being thankful to God for the fact that He doesn't leave us in the middle of the mess. I'm not discounting that life can be difficult. I'm not discounting that your situation can be hard, but God is still God amongst all of it. God is present in every situation. And I know that it can be difficult when your loved one loses their battle to whatever it is that they've been battling with, but I'm grateful now that they are no longer in any pain. I know that it can be difficult when your loved one moves away, when a friend moves away to the other side of the country, but I'm grateful for the time that we had together. And I'm grateful now that we live in an age where we have technology that allows us to interact and to still engage with each other on a regular basis. I know that it can be difficult and that it can be painful that your girlfriend or your boyfriend just broke up with you. But I'm grateful that you were able to experience love in the first place. I'm grateful now that you are one step closer and one person closer to who it is that God has for you to marry. I know that it can be difficult and that it can be painful for the fact that you just failed from that exam, that you just missed out and you were looked over for the promotion that you wanted in your life and in your workplace. But now I'm grateful for the fact that you experienced failure so that you know what to do differently the next time. You know how to be successful the next time. Even in the middle of difficulty, I'm thankful that God does not forsake me. Even in the middle of pain, I'm thankful that God does not abandon me. I'm thankful for the fact that even though I'm not as healed as I want to be in my body, I'm thankful that I get to live yet another day tomorrow. I'm thankful for it. And I find it interesting the way that Jesus teaches and demonstrates about Thanksgiving. So often the way that we think about Thanksgiving, we think that we should receive something and then we should be grateful for that thing. That's what we're taught about. This is how we interact with each other. We think that we should pray and we should receive something from God and then we should express gratitude for that. Even in the story of the 10 lepers, 10 are healed, they receive something, and then one comes back and expresses gratitude. But this isn't necessarily the way that Jesus teaches about this. I know this is the way that we function in our everyday life. You receive something from someone, I say thank you to you for giving me that gift. Someone opens a door for you and you say thank you as you walk through that door. Someone comes to your party and you say thank you for coming to my party, right? This is the way that we have learned to exist and to deal with Thanksgiving because we tie our Thanksgiving to the gift that we have received. But when you consider what Jesus did and how he demonstrated his relationship with gratitude, think about the story of the 5,000. When Jesus fed the 5,000 families, Jesus receives the loaves and the fish. And when does he give thanks? Before the miracle. When Jesus fed the 4,000, he receives the food. And when does Jesus give thanks? Before the miracle. Even when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, when does Jesus give thanks? Before the miracle. Even when Jesus, during the Lord's Supper, he's received the bread and he's received the wine, Jesus prophesies to the disciples, those that were around him, of the fact that he is getting ready to die on the cross and yet come back to life 3 days later. When does Jesus give thanks? Before the miracle. What does this teach us? That your gratitude does not have to be your response for receiving the good gift from God. You have the ability to be grateful even before you receive the gift. Therefore, my gratitude is not my response to God, it is my alignment with God. You can be grateful for the breakthrough even before you receive it. You can be thankful for what is going to happen tomorrow. You can be thankful for the fact that God is going to move in my tomorrow, even today. You don't have to wait on tomorrow to be grateful. I can be grateful today. And what if? Sometimes we wait on the miracle to be grateful. What if it is your gratitude that unlocks your miracle? What if your ability to be grateful today for all the things that God has done, what if that's what unlocks the thing that's in my heart for my tomorrow? What if? So often we go through life and we experience one thing and then we move on to the next thing and we ask God for the next thing and we ask God for the next thing and we don't look back on all the incredible things that God has already done in our life. What if it is the gratitude for the last thing that unlocks the next thing in our life? What if? Are you able to be grateful even though you haven't yet received the breakthrough that you're believing for? Are you able to be grateful for it? And you can complain if you want to. You can be critical if you want to. You can be upset if you haven't fully received that healing. You can be upset if you haven't seen that relationship fully restored. You can be upset about it if you want to be. But I choose to be grateful for every good thing that God has already done in my life. And I believe that my breakthrough is coming tomorrow because it's been unlocked by how I'm grateful today. Jesus, when he received the food, he had the ability to be upset about it. Just given me just a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. And how do you expect me to do anything with this? He could have partnered with scarcity and he could have partnered with lack, but instead it was the thanksgiving that opened the miracle for thousands and thousands of people to be able to be fed. You can partner with scarcity if you want to. You can partner with lack if you want to. But if you partner with thanksgiving, I believe that your miracle is coming in your tomorrow. You have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice on what your tomorrow is gonna look like. And every time that you have a choice, there's a battle that's going on. What is gonna get your focus? What is your attention gonna go toward? How are you gonna respond? And I don't want you to think that I get this right all the time, because I certainly don't. Last week, we were down at the holiday parade in downtown Toledo. It's one of our favorite traditions. We've done it for like the last 10 years. Family gets together and we celebrate Thanksgiving and we start to celebrate Christmas. And I know that you might think of the Ohio State-Michigan game as the start of the Christmas season, but for me, it is the holiday parade in downtown Toledo. It's one of our favorite things to do is when we gather together with friends and we celebrate the parade and the floats that are going by and we have hot chocolate and costumes and decorations and candy going everywhere. It's one of my favorite things. But every single year, we have an issue. Every single year that we have gone down to experience this, they always say that the parade starts at one time, but the parade actually starts at another time. I don't know if you've ever gone down to a parade or if you've ever experienced this for yourself before, but we always go down at the time that they say that the parade is going to begin. And that is not when the parade, in fact, begins. And we have little children. And so we go down to this parade and the first float goes by and I gather the kids together and I'm like, kids, the parade is beginning. The floats are starting. Pay attention. Get your bags ready. Candy's coming. And then one goes by and then I look down the street and there's no other float coming. And it fills me with frustration and confusion because I think I get it if it happens one year, but how is it that every single year is the same? Like, who is running this thing? Did you get lost along the way? All you're meant to do is just follow the person that's in front of you. How hard is it to just follow along the journey? And so then the kids start getting confused and they start running in different directions and I feel myself starting to get frustrated and I think that all I'm doing is thinking it in my head, but I must have started saying some of it out loud because Meredith then looks at me with these eyes. These eyes that are like, are you just going to be complaining the entire time that you are down here? Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and the rest of us that are here, we choose to be grateful. So I took a moment and I stepped back. I was able to do that because there was no parade that was taking place. But and I began to think and introspect. Why am I being so critical? Why am I complaining right now? I don't have any issues. Do I have somewhere else that I need to be? Do I have other plans that this is? I decided to come here. Is the weather really bad? No. Am I with people that I don't want to be with? No. I want to be here. So why is it that I'm complaining about being here? Is 10 minutes a lifetime? Did I pay to be here? No. Why am I so upset about this experience? And I was reminded about how it's human nature to just try and complain. It's our natural wiring is just to complain and just to be critical about things. But as believers, we have the ability to choose what we do with our mouth. We have the ability to choose what we put our attention on. And every time you choose something, you are therefore not choosing something else. And the beautiful thing about gratitude, the beautiful thing about Thanksgiving is that it literally displaces things. When you choose Thanksgiving, you are therefore choosing to not be critical because gratitude and criticism cannot occupy the same space. When you are choosing gratitude, fear cannot choose the same space, cannot occupy the same space. Gratitude and anxiety cannot occupy the same space. Gratitude and comparison cannot occupy the same space. Gratitude and bitterness cannot occupy the same space. There is a war that is going on for your attention. Gratitude and thanksgiving are not just nice things to do. There is a war that is going on for your attention. There is a war that is going on. What are you going to put your attention toward in this season? Are you going to be critical that maybe the turkey didn't come out just the way that you wanted it to? Maybe the people that you invited didn't show up the way that you wanted them? What are you going to put your attention toward? You can be critical if you want to. But I choose to be thankful for every good gift that God has put in my life. Not just because there's a silver lining, not just because I choose to be positive, but because there is a war that is going on for your attention. And I know that criticism and gratitude cannot occupy the same space. Thanksgiving, therefore, is like a spiritual armor. Your gratitude protects your mind. Your gratitude protects your heart. Your gratitude protects your soul. Gratitude protects you. Ephesians 6 talks about your spiritual armor. Talks about the reality about how you can protect yourself. Talks about your shield of faith. And when I choose to look back over my life and remember all the things that God has done in my life, my shield gets stronger because my faith gets bigger. You have the ability to choose what you want your attention to go towards. And so now when the enemy starts to throw daggers and to throw darts in your direction, darts of envy and darts of comparison, I can choose to focus on those things or I can choose to focus on the fact that God is still good. I can choose to focus on the fact that God still loves me and that God gave his son for me. I can choose what I want to put my attention towards. I can choose to focus on the fact that I'm thankful for my yesterday and I'm thankful for my tomorrow. I can choose to be thankful for all of it. I have taught myself to be grateful even when it looks like I've got nothing to be grateful for. I've taught myself to be grateful in season and out of season. I've taught myself to be grateful when I'm healed and when I'm not. I've taught myself to be grateful. I've taught myself. And you can teach yourself this too as well. But a message like today and a reminder like today is no good if it's just words in your life. And so this is what I want us to do. I want everyone who is able to stand to your feet. And we're going to practice this. We're going to practice wrapping ourselves in thanksgiving and guarding ourselves with gratitude. The way that we do this is by expressing gratitude to those that are around us. It's not enough to just feel grateful, because gratitude requires relationship. Gratitude requires a giver. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take 3 minutes. The first minute, I want you to find someone and I want you to express the things that you are grateful for to that person. It could be someone that you came with. It could be someone that you've never seen before in your life. You're going to take 1 minute and you're going to express the things that you're grateful for. And I want to say this, it's so easy for us to be really specific when we're critical and really general when we're thankful. I want you to be really specific about what you're grateful for. Don't just say, I'm thankful because God is good. I want you to say specifically what you're grateful for. I'm grateful that he put breath in my lungs. I'm grateful that I get to see another day. I didn't deserve it, but God has been good to me. And I know that so often we can pray for something and then we end up being critical about the responded prayer that we get from God. Like I do the laundry in our house and I have to check myself all the time when I'm doing the laundry. As I'm folding all of these tiny pants and all of these tiny shirts, and I feel myself getting frustrated, like, why are there so many clothes to fold? And then I reframe that. I'm so grateful that I have tiny humans in my home that I get to fold laundry for. What's your focus on? It's so easy to be critical. But really, the reality is that you're living in the answered prayer that you had from yesterday. But how do you frame your today? So we're going to take 1 minute and I want you to express gratitude to that person back and forth about the things that you're grateful for. That's the first minute. The second minute, you're going to find another person and you're going to do the same thing. I'm grateful to God for this. I'm grateful to God for this. I'm grateful to God for this. And then in the last minute, we're going to turn our gratitude vertical and we're going to thank God for every good and perfect gift that he has brought into our life and every incredible thing that he has done. You understand? First minute with one person, second minute with someone else, third minute, we're gonna create a sound of gratitude here in this space. You ready? You found your person? Go ahead and move. You might need to move your feet a little bit. And if you're joining, you can go ahead and start the clock right now for 1 minute. And if you're joining online, you can put it in the chat right now, or if you're joining with someone else, go ahead and express gratitude about what God has done in your life with that person. Be specific, find somebody. Nobody gets to be by themselves while you're expressing gratitude today for all the good things. This is a beautiful sound. This is a beautiful sound. Keep going, keep going, keep going. That's 1 minute. Swap. Find somebody else. Find somebody else. We're not talking about in groups of five or six people. Find one person that you can go and express gratitude. You're going to have to move your feet a little bit. You might have to shift into the aisle. Find someone that you are grateful, that you can express your gratitude to today. 1 more minute. Start the clock. Come on, keep putting it into the chat if you're joining online. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Come on, I know you can get louder than that. Come on, let's fill this place with thanksgiving. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You've got more than that to be thankful for. I know God's been better to you than you've been to yourself. All right, are you ready? Now let's turn it vertical. Come on, create a sound of gratitude. Create a sound of thanksgiving in this house. Come on, disarm the enemy. The enemy doesn't get to win today. You live to fight another day. Are you thankful for every good gift that God has put into you? God, I'm thankful. God, I'm thankful. God, I'm thankful.